This is All of It on WNYC. I'm Allison Stewart. It seems these days that superheroes are everywhere. Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Madness is playing on nearly every screen at your local theater. But have you ever seen a superhero patrolling your own street in real life? If you live in the Seattle area, the home of a group called the Rain City Superhero Movement, the answer could be yes. They are U.S. citizens who consider themselves to be do-gooders, crime fighters, protectors of all that is good and right. And they are the subject of a new podcast, one in particular, a man who calls himself Phoenix Jones. Here's a clip from the podcast called The Superhero Complex.
One night, a guy named Dan was walking through a parking lot in downtown Seattle when he came upon a menacing-looking dude trying to break into a car. Dan pulled out his phone to call 911. But before he could reach the police, something totally insane happened. The masked man emerged from the shadows and chased the would-be car thief away. Someone else said the guy in the costume stopped a mugging. Another person saw him break up a fight outside a bar. There were more and more encounters like this. It became clear the rumors were true. There was a Dark Knight out there patrolling the streets of Seattle. And he called himself Phoenix Jones.
I am a superhero.
Phoenix Jones was the bombastic leader of a group who patrolled the streets of Seattle from around 2011 to 2014. They developed a complicated reputation among locals and even a more tense one with the police. In 2020, Phoenix Jones, whose real name is Ben Fodor, was arrested in connection with drug possession. The Superhero Complex from Novel and iHeartMedia traces the comic book rise and fall of Phoenix Jones' fame with the phenomenon of real-life superheroism. Joining me now is host David Weinberg. Hi, David.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. So, you know, this term real life superhero, it's got its own acronym, RLSH. There's a whole Wikipedia page devoted to them and to it. What are the roots of this movement?
Well, I think it depends on your view of them. I think some people consider them vigilantes, and there's a whole, you know, history of vigilantism in the United States and all over the world. And then there's this sort of other more closely related to the comic book idea of a superhero where it's a little campier. And so some of those early members of that side of it are, there's a guy called the Birmingham Batman who was around in the 70s who would dress up like Batman and basically help stranded motorists. There was a guy called Master Legend out of New Orleans who actually claimed he had some superpowers. And so there were definitely these fringe characters that took their inspiration from comic book characters that had been around for a while. And then you also have these sort of more vigilante groups. You know, people like, you know, some people might consider some of the groups that patrol around New York City, you know, Guardian Angels, you might say they were a predecessor to this movement. It just depends largely on how you view them.
So from the real life superheroes you spoke to, did you get a sense of, is this cosplay or do they really see this as a form of activism?
Yeah, I would not say it's cosplay. This is definitely activism. And I would say there are two camps. You know, there are the people who do it because they want to fight crime. They want to protect people from violence and from harm. And then there are the people who are doing it for more humanitarian reasons. You know, like the patrols that I went out with on these guys, largely what we did was hand out food and socks and masks to homeless people. One of the real life superheroes I went with, Red Ranger, Seattle member, is a registered nurse during the day. So a lot of what we did was administer first aid to unhoused people who were struggling with mental health and addiction issues and that kind of stuff. So it kind of runs the gamut.
Why?
But they definitely take it seriously, I would say. Yeah.
Then why the personas?
Some of it, I think, is just basic love of comic book characters. In the case of Phoenix Jones, he has an interesting argument for why he does it. One is that if you are going to be the type of superhero that's going to stop a crime, you know, they work in tandem with law enforcement. So the first thing they do when they see a crime is call the police. And when the police show up, you want to make it clear to the police that you are there to help and you're not the criminal. And if you're wearing a Batman costume, it's a symbol to the police that I am not the criminal. I'm actually on the side of right. And then there's also, you know, if you're fighting a lot of crimes and breaking up drug dealers and stuff, you might want to keep your own identity a secret so that, you know, for your own safety reasons. So a lot of them consider the mask a thing they wear to protect themselves and their families.
My guest is David Weinberg, host of the podcast, The Superhero Complex. So Ben Fodor, he's an MMA fighter. He dresses up in this yellow and black suit and calls himself Phoenix Jones. What sets Phoenix Jones apart from the other superheroes?
So there's definitely a large contingent of this group that is, I would kind of put in sort of like the nerd category, where it's like, you know, they're just people that are into this stuff, mm-hmm. and then they go and do it. But Phoenix, you know, he's a semi-professional MMA fighter, and he's a trained warrior, and he's very good at it. And he is like head and shoulders above a lot of these other characters in terms of the training and the time that he puts in to, you know, fight crime. And he also studied in Israel, like knife disarms with some Israeli soldiers. Like, he takes it very seriously, and he's a very accomplished athlete, which is rare, I would say, in the community. He's also been incredibly smart and has studied the law. You know, he's been arrested over 100 times in the course of this work, and he defends himself in court and has won all those cases. And so he, I mean, to do this work, you have to have a very good knowledge of what you're allowed to do and what you're not allowed to do in terms of apprehending someone on the street.
He's incredibly charismatic.
Definitely.
He's very bright. And as we learn in the podcast, he bumps up against the truth. Sometimes he...
That's a very generous way of putting it.
I was going to say, does wheelies around, runs right over it. Let's listen to a clip from the podcast, The Superhero Complex, which focuses on Phoenix and his sometimes wild claims about his own abilities.
Over the course of the interview, Phoenix made a point to explain that he is not a normal person. What might cause you or I to run away in terror, he handles like a trained warrior. Like this one time on one of his early patrols where a guy pulled a knife on him.
The first guy who ever stabbed me on the street, I was like, hey, that was a good one. You win today. I caught him next time and beat the crap out of him. Like, you're not going to hurt me in any kind of physical way to cause me damage. I find it comical.
And don't even think about pulling a gun on him.
This guy tried to kill me. He pulled a gun and tried to chase me around the car, and I took him down, obviously. I mean, you have a gun at close range, I'll win every time.
And then there was the time he was scouted by the federal government.
The FBI basically wanted to, like, make a list of all superheroes and kind of their activities and what they do. And I agreed to some things with the government. The government agreed to some things with me, and we went our separate way.
Do you still have a relationship with the federal government?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
This was one fact I was not able to verify. But in the moment, as Phoenix rattled off story after story of his crime-fighting exploits, I started to believe him.
You had a tough job as a journalist with this gentleman.
Yeah.
Tell us about...
I mean, he's just very charismatic. And so the reporting process was like, I would sit down with Phoenix for like 3 or 4 hours, do a long interview with him. I would be totally enamored and believe that he was the real deal. And then I would go to his former teammates and all these other people in law enforcement, and I would fact check all those claims, and many of them would turn out to not be true. And then I would go back to Phoenix and I would throw it back to him. Like, hey, all these people said this wasn't true. And then he would have like a very good explanation. And he was very able to sort of, like, he was just good at like responding to everything in a way that just left me with a lot of doubts. I was like, maybe I did get it wrong. Maybe I, you know, but at the end of the day, I was able to find a lot of instances where he did lie to me. And it's like, once you can confirm a few of those lies, it makes it very difficult to believe someone any of the time. And I think that is one of the things that has plagued Phoenix ever since, definitely his drug arrest, but also after the falling out with his teammates.
It's interesting because he seems to like the spotlight, and there's a very interesting moment when you realize he sees himself in the paper, and it sparks off something in him that he could do this. But then he kept standing you up for interviews. He gave you the runaround for several months.
He would just disappear. And there's one story in particular that another journalist told me that I think says a lot about Phoenix, and that they were out on patrol one night and they heard this woman scream in terror. And so Phoenix starts running towards the scream. And then this car pulls up next to them and is like, oh, it's Phoenix Jones. Can we get a photo with you? And he's like, of course. And so he stops and he takes a photo with these guys, and they have to do it multiple times to get it right. And by the time they're done with this photo shoot, like, the woman has stopped screaming. There's no one to find. And it's like, well, why are you doing this, Phoenix? Like, what is your goal here? If you are doing what you claim to do, which is like putting your life on the line every night to protect these people, that's one thing. But if in the midst of that, you'd rather take a selfie with someone, I feel like maybe you should think a little bit more honestly about what your motivations are here. And I found that to be the case a lot of times with him, where he would speak with these high-minded ideals, but then I think sometimes he wasn't being honest with himself about his love of being in the spotlight.
Where did he grow up? Like, what is his origin story, as they say?
It's like ripped out of the pages of a comic book. He had three siblings, grew up in Texas. He was the only one of his siblings to be put into an orphanage, which he found out later was because his mom had an affair with a man, and he was the child of that affair. And then he was taken out of the orphanage and given back to his family. And then when he was about 7 years old, his dad took him to a convenience store, and his dad went into the convenience store and never came back out because he tried to rob the place and was murdered. And so Phoenix was then put back into an orphanage. And he talked about it in a way that's like, well, that was a moment for him where he's like, I can either be like my parents and be criminals, or I can choose a different path. And again, with Phoenix, it's hard to know how much of that is true. We were definitely able to verify a lot of the facts about his adoption and things like that. And he ended up getting adopted. This happened in Texas. And then the woman who adopted him took him to Seattle where she lived, and that's where he grew up. But he had a lot of the issues that Phoenix struggles with probably come out of the fact that he was abandoned as a child, and he did experience a lot of trauma inside the system. And I think he's a little bit haunted by a lot of those things.
My guest, David Weinberg. The name of the podcast is The Superhero Complex. You mentioned this in one of your answers, that Phoenix got arrested in connection with drug use. What exactly were the charges brought against him?
So, depending on who you believe, it was either just a drug deal that happened where Phoenix sold drugs to undercover cops, MDMA and cocaine, or if you believe Phoenix, it was entrapment. He got charged with conspiracy charges, which are like lesser than actual charges. But basically, an undercover agent posing as a woman texted him. Phoenix, who is polyamorous, was like, oh yeah, let's all meet up at this hotel. And she was like, great, by the way, could you bring some drugs? And he was like, yeah, I could bring some drugs to this party. And then he brought some drugs. And so, based on the text exchanges that I've read from the court documents, Phoenix has not come across as like a drug dealer so much as a guy who thought he was, bringing some drugs to a threesome. But it's more complicated than that. There was another time he also got caught selling cocaine to cops. That one seems a little more straightforward. And he pled guilty ultimately to those charges.
Some people were saying, yeah, you're a crime fighter, and now you're a hypocrite because you are engaging in crime. How did he respond? How does he respond to that charge?
Well, he claims he wasn't a dealer. It's complicated. He claims he was helping a friend who was a drug dealer, basically being kind of like a generous middleman. But the issue I have with that is that Phoenix is incredibly smart and does know the law very well. And so he knew exactly the risks he was taking when he decided to get involved, whether or not he was an actual dealer or just facilitating the deal. Like, he knew what he was in for. So I don't have a lot of sympathy for his, for what the charges that he ultimately pled guilty to. So
if you have superheroes, you have to have supervillains. And we meet one, Rex Velvet, who wears this eye patch and a big twirly mustache and calls himself the real life supervillain. And there's this YouTube video of him. We'll play a little bit of the audio. It's very stylized. Let's take a listen.
The Rain City superhero movement must disintegrate. For far too long, we've watched as our nation buys into its childish charade and it's run its course. It's time to get real, Jones. The community would be better off without you. You're doing more harm than good, and I'm willing to bet that a sensible, sane majority would agree with me. You're a nuisance, a problem child, a snitch, a fake. You must be stopped once and for all.
So it's really clear Rex is playing a character. This Rex Velvet is very much a character. What interested you about the relationship between Phoenix Jones and how he presents himself and Rex Velvet?
So it was very clear when you watch Rex Velvet, he's kind of doing it as a joke. And then I interviewed him and he was like, in my mind, it was like there was some truth in that he did kind of have his doubts about what Phoenix was doing. It seemed like he was a little bit full of himself. And was he really doing all that much good, or was he just going around breaking up bar fights at 2 a.m.? And he wanted to, there was some genuine criticism in there. But then he also was like, hey, Phoenix, let's kind of team up and play up this rivalry. And he wanted to do charity work and raise money for the Make-A-Wish Foundation. And the funny part is Phoenix takes himself very seriously. He thinks of all this stuff as a very serious thing, and he could have just dismissed Rex. Mm-hmm. But instead he started a real beef with him and got mad at him. And he claimed to me, Phoenix claimed to me, that he went out and copyrighted the term Rex Velvet and sent Rex a cease and desist. And I found that to be not true. We looked it up and he didn't. And it's in my mind, it's well, this guy's just a joke. And you think he's a joke, just ignore him. But then Phoenix kind of escalated in this way where he started making these lies about the relationship. He started telling me lies about Rex Velvet. He told me that Rex Velvet, none of the charity stuff was true, that really Rex wanted to get a vodka sponsorship and use their rivalry to make money. And Phoenix was like, I'm a man of the people. I'm here to protect people. I'm not here to be a capitalist shill for vodka. But I found all that to be not true. I mean, I put all that to Rex and he was just like, I never have spoken to Phoenix in my life. Like, and so it was one of those moments where it's like, I don't know, like this is just could have just been a goofy rivalry. But instead, Phoenix like took it to this place where it's like, why would you say all these things about him? You know, it's like he's a joke, you know. So
the thing I've listened to almost the whole podcast and it's fascinating, but I'm so torn between is Phoenix Jones, this gentleman, is he unwell? And I mean that with great sort of, I mean that in a very honest way.
Well, I mean, I don't feel qualified to make a, like a judgment on that, but I spent a lot of time with him. He didn't seem unwell. He just seemed like someone who has a lot of compulsions to be better than everyone. And I think he has some issues with the truth. You know, many people that knew him well call him a pathological liar. I don't know that I would go that far, but you know, I have this question that I don't know that I'll ever know the answer to, which is, does Phoenix believe these things he's saying?
I guess that's what I'm getting to. Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, cause he won't admit that he's lying to me. So I don't know if he believes them or if he doesn't, but he has issues, I would say, as we all do. I don't know, you know, as you hear in this piece, you know, part of what happened after his drug charges was that he had to basically prove to the state that he wasn't crazy because he was working with autistic children in his day job. So he did have to undergo all these psychological evaluations. One of the tests was to see if he had autism, and he scored like a number on that test that showed that he had some degree of autism. That part of the test involved seeing people's faces making emotions, and he couldn't tell what people's emotions were in the test. And so I often wonder how much that is a factor in how he sees the world and his own psychological makeup. But again, I just, you know, I'm not going to sort of armchair diagnose him, but I have that same question as even someone who spent a lot of time with him. And
people can listen and make their own observations. The name of the podcast is The Superhero Complex. The final Superhero Complex episode aired this week, but there'll be a bonus episode released over the next 2 weeks. David Weinberg is the host. David, thank you so much for sharing your reporting and your podcast with us.
Thank you for having me. This was great.